Greetings, Manazis. Welcome to the Best Current Year Ever podcast. I am your host, Fascist Lemming. I want to start my debut show on Radio Aryan by saying it is an honor and a white privilege to be on this fine network. I want to thank Sven for offering me a spot on this network. I know it's the best damn current year ever when I'm on the same team as dedicated and effective warriors for our people, such as Matthew Heimbach, founder of the Traditionalist Workers' Party. We have Dennis Wise, who created the greatest story never told, which is the greatest documentary you've ever seen. We have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, host of Orthodox Nationalists, and of course, Grandpa Lampshade with Thoughts of the Day, and I joined him a few weeks ago. So for those of you who have never heard of me, I have a YouTube channel where you can find out more about me and where I stand on the issues. And you can just type in Fascist Lemming into YouTube, or the link will be below at the post on Radio Aryan. I basically identify as a white nationalist, but other terms that I don't mind using to describe myself are anti-Semite, Nazi, white supremacist, alt-right, alt-Reich, etc. This show will have the same basic format as my YouTube updates. I really like to keep up with current events and news headlines, especially during an amazing time like this. There's a lot of good news coming out, so I try to keep my updates on the positive side. I get most of my headlines from Daily Stormer, Info Stormer, and the Jewish Daily Forward, and I'm also keeping tabs on David Duke. And speaking of David Duke, guys, this is a very important time in the history of, our white struggle for liberation. And he needs all the shekels he can get from you guys. So if you can give him $5, $50, $500, do what you can. You know, I sent him 10 bucks the other day. It's not a lot, but every little bit helps. So that being said, we're going to go ahead and start covering these headlines because I have a lot to cover. So, first, big news with the headline from InfoStormer reads, Iowa, Trump promises to deport hundreds of thousands of invaders on day one. And this was very reassuring to me. I've been kind of black-pilled on Donald Trump lately because he's been reading the teleprompters at every rally. And I actually did get to see him in Austin last Tuesday, so that was amazing, but still kind of black-pilled, you know, he's going overboard with the pandering to the African-Americans. And apparently it had become less clear on what his plans were for deportations. So he comes out in this speech in Iowa the other day and makes it very clear where he stands on immigration and building the wall and deporting them all. So I'm going to play this 2.5 minute clip from his speech for you, so enjoy.
On day one, I'm going to begin swiftly removing criminal, illegal immigrants from this country, including removing the hundreds and thousands of criminal, illegal immigrants that have been released into the United States and United States communities under the incompetent Obama Clinton administration. These international gangs of thugs and drug cartels will be, I promise you, from the first day in office, the first thing I'm going to do, the first piece of paper that I'm going to sign is we're going to get rid of these people day one, before the wall, before anything. And our great law enforcement, they know who they are. They've been living with them for years, and they don't want to put up with it anymore. So we are going to get rid of them day one. We start day one. The reign of terror, and it is that, you go to some places and you will see, the reign of terror will be over, and it'll be over fast. Remember, our law enforcement, our police, who, by the way, should get a tremendous hand because what they have to put up with. We are great people. They're great people. But they know these people. I've met with so many of the top police and the people in the rank and file. They know these people. So it's not like, oh, gee, we're going to start. They know all of them. They know the good ones, the bad ones. They know all of them. We are going to get rid of the criminals, and it's going to happen within 1 hour after I take office, we start. Okay? I'm going to bring them back where they came from. In this task, we will always err on the side of protecting the American people. We will use immigration law to prevent crimes, and we will not wait until some innocent American has been harmed or killed before taking action. We will move justly, but we will move fast, believe me, and we will move tough. There won't be any games. There won't be any games. These are bad people.
Pretty amazing stuff right there. I am thoroughly reassured that he's going to build the wall and deport them all. 2016, the year of the great deportations, the year that we take all these mudvaders and send them back to where they belong once and for all. So I'm just going to go ahead and go to the next article. This one's from Alternet, one of our favorite libtard websites. Maine's governor is openly calling for a race war against people of color. And that's kind of an exaggeration, but it's kind of true. Here, let's see what Based LePage said.
Bad guy's a bad guy. I don't care what color it is. When you go to war, if you know the enemy dresses in red and you dress in blue, you shoot at red, don't you? Ken, you've been in uniform. You shoot at the enemy. You try to identify the enemy. And the enemy right now, the overwhelming majority of people coming in are people of color or people of Hispanic origin.
Okay, and straight from this Alternet article. Those remarks followed statements last Wednesday at a town hall meeting in North Berwick where the governor errantly stated, "Let me tell you this. Let me tell you, explain to you. I made the comment that black people are trafficking in our state. Now, ever since I said that comment, I've been collecting every single drug dealer who has been arrested in our state. I don't ask them to come to Maine and sell their poison, but they come. And I will tell you that 90%+ of those pictures in my book, and it's a 3-ring binder, are black and Hispanic people from Waterbury, Connecticut, the Bronx, and Brooklyn. I didn't make the rules. I'm just telling you what's happening." So that's what Based LePage says. And here is the triggering response from this Alternet article. And it says, "Of course, the governor's claims are incorrect. Mark Potok is a senior fellow of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which monitors hate groups in the United States. He told Alternet, on top of everything else, LePage is making a claim that is simply false. The fact is that most drug dealers and consumers in the United States are white." Oh, isn't that cute? Mark Potok, subversive Jew working for SPLC, claims that LePage is wrong in saying that 90% of his drug dealers are, you know, I'm trying to think of a nice word. Spicks and niggers, right? Like, basically, he's saying 90% are these mud people. And he denies it. He denies that that's true. Mark Potok, and he just points out that most drug dealers and consumers in the United States are white. Well, first of all, we're still the majority group. And secondly, I seriously doubt most drug dealers are white. That's just hard to believe. But not like a Jew like Mark Potok would ever lie. We know the SPLC, they love to tell the truth. But anyway, all that matters is that he's not backing down. He left a nice phone message for someone calling him a racist. If y'all heard about that, I'm not going to repeat what he said, but it's pretty funny stuff. And so, I just want to play this short clip before we go to the next story.
I want to thank Paul. Boy, I'll tell you. I love tough people. You need tough people, and he's a tough cookie. And when we got his endorsement, we were thrilled. I will tell you that. He's a great guy.
All right, moving on to Mr. David Duke, the world's leading white supremacist. We have this headline from InfoStormer. Louisiana GOP cucks put off rule vote aimed at restricting David Duke's Senate run. And this is from NOLA.com. The Republican Party of Louisiana deferred voting on new rules Saturday, August 27th, that would make it more difficult for David Duke and other convicted felons to run as Republicans in elections held after November. The proposed regulation would automatically prohibit felons from running for office as Republicans in elections after November unless an exception was made by the state Republican Party's executive committee. So basically that rule is directly for David Duke. It's too late to do anything to him for this Senate campaign, but they're trying to change the rules for any future campaigns, you know, since David Duke is a convicted felon, which I always forget about that. I'm surprised the Jew media doesn't harp on that more often and they just focus on him being a grand wizard KKK. But apparently they're not ready to go through with this vote because apparently there might be some legal ramifications. But anyway, that's just a small update on his campaign. Let's see, next article on Duke, and this one's from BuzzFeed. David Duke robocall urges voters to vote for him and Donald Trump. A robocall from white nationalist and former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke urges voters to vote for him for U.S. Senate and Louisiana, and for Donald Trump for president. And this is from the robocall, David Duke saying, unless massive immigration is stopped now, we'll be outnumbered and outvoted in our own nation. It's happening. We're losing our gun rights, our free speech. We're taxed to death. We're losing our jobs and business to unfair trade. We're losing our country. Look at the Super Bowl salute to the Black Panther cop killers. It's time to stand up and vote for Donald Trump for president and vote for me, David Duke, for U.S. Senate. In a phone interview with BuzzFeed News on Monday, Duke confirmed that the call was his. So yeah, good times. Good times. I'm glad that David Duke is getting more and more attention. And the article does say more. Let me read it. Everyone is saying they're voting for Duke and Trump, Duke said. A blind man told me he was voting for Duke and Trump. The response has been overwhelming. So yeah, once again, feel free to support Duke if you don't live in Louisiana. And if you do live in Louisiana, please vote for Duke when the time comes. If you're listening to this show, I'm sure you will. You probably don't need me to tell you to do that. And you know, some people think David Duke's going to hurt Donald Trump's campaign somehow. I mean, it's possible, but I doubt he can hurt Trump in any significant way. And don't forget, they're pulling out all the stops against Trump. They're doing literally everything they can imagine. So David Duke running isn't going to be that much more added to what they're already doing to, you know, demonize and smear Trump. And in the meantime, you know, like Don Advo always says, you know, we don't know what Trump's really going to do. We're not 6,000,000% sure that he is going to build that wall and deport them all. But with David Duke, we know for a fact that he's going to force the Senate and the Congress to discuss issues like freedom or, you know, protected political speech, to where we can't get fired from our job when some Antifa finds my YouTube video, doxes me and calls my company and gets me fired. Duke's going to stand against that. He's going to talk about repealing the 1965 Immigration Act. And we know these things are going to happen. And if Trump wins and Duke also wins, we know that Duke is going to not only hold Trump's feet to the fire better than anybody else, because he'll hold his feet to the fire in a meaningful way, but he'll also support Trump in all the important matters, such as building the wall, keeping the Mudvaders out from the Middle East, and, you know, being peaceful with Russia. So it's really a win-win situation to support Duke. I think people are being a little too paranoid when they think Duke can hurt Trump's candidacy. So next article about Duke, and this one's from Real Clear Politics with the headline reading, Mike Pence, it does really bother me that David Duke is supporting Trump. So yeah, Pence was on CNN with Jake Tapper. And of course, Jake Tapper, so you know David Duke's going to come up. So let me play this minute and a half clip from Pence.
And the only answer Hillary Clinton and her running mate have is more of the same kind of racial divisiveness and racial attacks, and I really think it's beneath the dignity.
With all due respect, sir, the reason that Tim Kaine said what he said is because David Duke is supporting your campaign. Take a listen.
I'm overjoyed to see Donald Trump and most Americans embrace most of the issues that I've championed for years.
That must really bother you.
It does really bother me. And Donald Trump made it clear repeatedly in this week, not only does he denounce David Duke, but we don't want the support of people who think like David Duke. But look, people see the choreography, Jake. You and I have known each other a while. Hillary Clinton, not on that, but on the two speeches.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton has a really tough week, right? 15,000 emails
sure.
coming out. I mean, you have the Clinton Foundation, the more and more of the cascade of controversies coming out of here with the Clintons, ducking and weaving and not answering questions, more than 250 days since a press conference. So all of a sudden, here it comes. They roll out the politics of division with a speech Thursday night, and then her running mate comes out with those outrageous charges. That, I mean, the fact that an individual, a contemptible individual like that, has supports my running mate, is no more relevant than the fact that the father of a man who killed 49 people in Orlando, Florida, was cheering Hillary Clinton at one of her rallies.
So yeah, even though it's absurd to compare Duke to the invading terrorist's terrorist son who, you know, shot up the gay club, he is right about the double standard when it comes to Hillary supporters. I saw Robert Byrd trending on Facebook recently, and more basic, you know, alternative media reporters like Paul Joseph Watson and others are using the Robert Byrd argument. So I think this is all good for David Duke. And it's also good to normalize the KKK meme. It's good to see Robert Byrd trending on Facebook because everyone's going to be like, oh, well, Hillary's already proven to have supported a former KKK. So that's going to really diminish the damage, this whole, Grand Wizard KKK David Duke meme, you know. So it's good times. So moving on. Done. That's all for David Duke news for today. So we're moving on. The next article is from The Raw Story with the headline reading, The Alt-Right Dictionary, 7 Terms You Need to Know to Understand Trump's Most Hateful Supporters. And this is actually a pretty interesting article. Lots of good highlights that I'm going to be reading to you guys. You know, it's from Raw Story. I think they're pretty much a leftist website. But there's still some interesting stuff here. I'm going to read the highlights. So first, it says, the alt-right hordes on Twitter and other internet haunts dispense with the obfuscation, declaring the superiority of white people and demonstrating contempt for blacks and Jews, hating on women, and preposterously whining that they are the targets of a, quote, white genocide. The alt-right encompasses a range of right-wing hate groups and ideologies, from the neo-Nazi Daily Stormer crowd to the more buttoned-down wannabe wonks at the National Policy Institute. So yeah, we're preposterously whining that we're the targets of white genocide. Well, guess what white genocide is? Open borders for all white countries and open borders for all white countries and only white countries. Case closed. The end. So what is the first term that we need to know? Well, the first term, you know, is alt-right, even though that's in the headline. We're also going, that's the first word in the article. And there's an interesting little excerpt from the description of that term. It says, there are, however, disagreements among alt-righties on the scope of their hatred. The self-parodying Breitbart News editor Milo Yiannopoulos, for example, wears his gay identity as a badge, even as he spews vitriol against Muslims and blacks. Others who wear the alt-right label, such as the Daily Stormer's Andrew Anglin, spurn Yiannopoulos as a degenerate. Of course, I don't know how much vitriol he spews at blacks with his, you know, his shirts that we all know about. So the second word they have is cuck. Of course, that should be the first word. Cuck, cuckservative. That word has been very powerful for us. It's, you know, it's brought us places we weren't before. So thank you, cuck. Great meme. So the third word they have, glorious. And here's from the description of glorious. The Daily Stormer website routinely refers to Trump as our glorious leader, as in the post, our glorious leader calls for a ban on all Muslims, and glorious leader Donald Trump refuses to denounce Daily Stormer troll army, a reference to the anti-Semitic trolling of GQ writer Julia Yaffe after she wrote an article on Trump's wife, Melania. In an interview with CNN's Wolf Blitzer, Trump declined to renounce the trolling, which included death threats. See, they always bring up this death threat thing. There's no proof that anyone sent any death threats anyway. And even if there were death threats, we always got to wonder, like, hey, what you doing there, Rabbi? So next word is Pepe. The fifth word is rare Pepe. The sixth word is normie. And of course, the seventh word, the best word. I'm glad this term is getting a lot of attention lately. And word seven is white genocide. And they describe it as a common theme in alt-right tweets and rants in which the admission of non-white immigrants to the U.S. or Europe is characterized as the destruction of the white race. Other forms of so-called white genocide include racial mixing and the adoption of non-white babies by white people. Such adoptive parents are deemed to be race traitors. And of course, this guy Kaepernick, the football player who didn't stand for the anthem, he comes to mind. He was raised by two white parents, and he's turned out to be a rabid anti-white Muslim nigger, basically. And it's because he was raised by two white parents. You know, I was watching a Stephon Molyneux's video on him yesterday, and he brought up the great point that if his nigger daddy would have stuck with his white trash mud-sharking mommy, then he could have been raised by them, and he wouldn't have been so confused. He might not have turned out to be this rabid anti-white. He might have only just been moderately anti-white, like most mixed-race folks turn out to be. But since he was raised by two whites and no blacks, it's like backfired and made him even more rabidly anti-white. But anyway, it's great to see white genocide getting all this attention. It's the best current year ever. That stuff like that is why I decided to name my show The Best Current Year Ever. So, next article on the alt-right from Alternet once again. A guide to the alt-right, modern white supremacists bolstering Trump. And there's just a bunch of highlights that I wanted to read again. So this is their guide, and they mostly talk about Spencer and Jared Taylor, but they do mention Daily Stormer also. So I got a lot to go here, so we're going to knock it out. It says, although Spencer has positioned himself as the effective leader of the alt-right, other proponents include several well-known names on the far right, including Jared Taylor, editor of the American Renaissance Racist Journal, Greg Johnson of the publishing house Countercurrents, Matthew Parrott and Matthew Heimbach of the Traditionalist Youth Network, and Mike Enoch, who runs the Right Stuff blog. See Mike Enoch there, that, you know, they gave him a little credit, you know, gave him a little credit, give him a little credit. But the general population of the alt-right is composed, by and large, of anonymous youths who were exposed to the movement's idea through online message boards like 4chan and 8chan's poll and internet platforms like Reddit and Twitter. The movement is not monolithic. The diversity of far-right ideologies that it includes has resulted in some disagreement with regard to Jews and whether to blame them for the perceived plight of white culture, a belief that has undergirded many sectors of white nationalism for decades. While some alt-right leaders are unquestionably anti-Semitic, others like Jared Taylor are not, seeing Jews simply as white people. For his part, Spencer has repeatedly brought in anti-Semites to speak at his events. In March 2016, for instance, Spencer invited former California State University, Long Beach professor Kevin McDonald, the author of a trilogy purporting to show that Jews seek to undermine the host Christian societies in which they often live, to speak in an event called Identity Politics. After the event, Spencer stopped just short of questioning the Holocaust, telling a Huffington Post reporter that if it really happened, then of course it wasn't justified. If it happened differently than what the story we've been told is, then I think that needs to be let out. That's actually a pretty good quote from Richard Spencer, hardcore Holocaust denier, according to alternet.org. And yeah, if it did happen the way it happened, it wouldn't be justified. But if it did happen the way they say it happened, then we have to re-examine the foundations of physics also. So it probably didn't happen, since it's literally impossible to, you know, kill so many people a day and, you know, put them in the oven and turn them to ashes. So yes, not only would it be unjustified if it really happened, we would also have to just reinvent our entire scientific model as far as physics goes. So later in the article, there was another mention of white genocide. Propaganda campaigns also have been organized around hashtags such as hashtag white genocide, a reference to the myth that white people are being subjected to an orchestrated eradication campaign. Yeah, it's a myth, right? That's why white folks were about 33% of the world population at the beginning of the 20th century, and now we're down to 8%. That doesn't mean that a lot of us were killed. We went from 33% to 8% because of our birth rates, our low birth rates, and juxtaposed to us are the mud people's high birth rates. And once again, open borders and all white nations and only white nations. Anti-white propaganda, race mixing propaganda. We're obviously, you know, subject to extermination, basically. The Jews need us gone because, you know, we have souls. We have a creative spirit. You know, they seem to do fine with Muslims. Well, their golden age was in Spain while they were under the rule of Islam. So maybe they don't think they need us. Maybe we've invented enough advanced technology for them to where they think they don't need us anymore. But it's clear, if they didn't want to eradicate us, they would not be going so crazy with this current mud invasion of Europe, sending millions of worthless subhuman muds into Europe and instantly putting them on welfare. And all these Western nations allowing this are under the control of Jews. And the Jews are the main people pushing for open borders. It's pretty simple, actually. It's funny how they like to deny white genocide. So later in the article, it says, in March 2016, Alan Bokhari and Milo Yiannopoulos wrote an article for the right-wing BartBright news site that claimed that alt-right was fundamentally about youthful provocation and subversion rather than simply another vehicle for the worst dregs of human society, anti-Semites, white supremacists, and other members of the Stormfront set, a reference to an online forum run by a former Alabama Klan leader. They didn't mention his name, Don Black. Don Black's a good guy, very level-headed, very reserved. You know, he's got his feet on the ground. He's down to earth. He's the host of Stormfront Radio. Make sure you check him out. Rents a network. Yeah, this is Milo saying, you know, the dregs of society are anti-Semites and white supremacists. And he's trying to act like he's one of us. Isn't that funny? And he's a homosexual Jew. I mean, he's just like this textbook example of Jewish subversion. So it's almost, you got to thank him for, you know, not giving us a chance to forget that Jews will always be in our business trying to infiltrate and subvert. That's all they're good for. Infiltrate and subvert. So it continues. Yiannopoulos, who was instrumental in the online harassment campaign against women in the electronic gaming world known as Gamergate, was not well received. Virtually every mainstream conservative publication, from the National Review to the Federalist, condemned it. and some on the furthest extremes of the alt-right attacked him as a Jewish homosexual in the words of Andrew Anglin, who runs the neo-Nazi Daily Stormer website, which Anglin describes as the world's most visited alt-right website. Anglin said Yiannopoulos had a history of engaging in sneaky Jewish tricks and added that this is how they get you. Clearly, the man seeks to undermine right-wing movements for Jewish purposes. It sure is nice to see Andrew Anglin and Daily Stormer getting so much attention, because I think he's doing the most effective job for us. I mean, obviously, Duke's number one because he's running for Senate. He has a chance to get some real power. But Andrew Anglin is reaching the most people. You know, he's using cutting edge tactics that we've never seen before. You know, infiltrating real life through Twitter during the whole Mizzou fiasco, where he was posing as a black Twitter account and tricking these blacks at Mizzou to think that cops were passing out guns to KKK members. Oh man, so good times. I'm glad to see him getting all this attention. So, speaking of Jewish subversion, this next article is a doozy, and I'm sure a lot of y'all saw it, from the Jewish Daily Forward with the headline reading, "I'm a Jew, and I'm a member of the alt-right." A Jew and a member of the alt-right. That's funny. And this is like right, this came out right after Hillary's alt-right speech. And it's just amazing. So here's one. There's only one really decent excerpt from this article that I want to read to you guys. So this alt-right Jew says, "Western civilization is a good thing for Jews. Sharia law, political Islam, identity politics, and the collapse of reason generally are bad things for Jews. I don't care if someone standing up to the left doesn't talk like my mother. I don't care if someone who wants to control European borders blames Jews for the Muslim influx. Time to grow some skin and focus on the real threats." So maybe it seems like he only likes the alt-right crowd is because he doesn't see us as a threat, and he sees the Mudvasion as a threat, and he wants to use us as a tool to help him protect Jewish interests. So he's not alt-right because protecting Jewish interests is not a core tenet of alt-right. It's like an anti-tenet, basically. One of the core tenets of alt-right is no Jews allowed, basically. At least for the real alt-right, you know, like the part of the alt-right that plans on actually being effective, we're not going to let Jews in, okay? It's been proven throughout history over and over again. What happens when you do that? You get infiltrated and subverted. It's really simple. So, I'm glad he wrote this article, just like I'm glad about Milo being such a blatant subversive Jew, because we're on it, you know, especially the hardcore 1488 crowd. We're basically incapable of really being infiltrated by Jews, because anyone who doesn't say the same things we say automatically becomes suspect. So a Jew probably wouldn't last very long, you know. I know we have that movie, The Believer. But it's funny, even in the movie The Believer, he was giving himself away in that scene when he was looking at the Torah, and one of the other neo-Nazis suspected him of being a Jew. So even in their own movie, they show that Jews aren't really going to be able to fly under the radar. But they're going to try, though, or they're going to be ridiculous like this guy and just come out in the open and say, "Yeah, I'm a Jew, I'm all right." It's kind of like the Jews putting the echoes around their names. You know, they have so much chutzpah, they think they can do this without any consequences, but all they're really doing is exposing themselves as Jews, and hopefully this will lead to 110, you know what I mean? We need the once and final 110th expulsion of Jews. We have the internet, we have advanced technology now, so this time, when we kick them out, it's not going to be forgotten about over generations, and they're going to come back, because they didn't have internet in the 1400s. Okay, this time we're never going to forget, just like they say about their Holocaust, we're never going to forget. So it's going to be good times. But yeah, I left one comment just telling them, like, "Yeah, dude, you're never going to be one of us." And there was a lot of subversive stuff in that article. Like, he was complaining about anti-Semitism, but I don't know. It's kind of weird. You can check out the article if you want to see it further. But this Jew is extremely subversive. So, moving on. Next article, also from the Daily Forward. Is the alt-right reaching out to Jews, and why? And I got some good, there's some good highlights. I know I've been reading to you guys a lot this show, but these highlights are really good, so I know you're enjoying it. So highlights from this article, once again, is the alt-right reaching out to Jews, and why? Some leaders see Jewish and other out-group allies as a way to protect whites. Richard Spencer is one of them. So that's how they explain Richard Spencer in this article, that he thinks some Jews and other allies could protect us. I don't know if he said that. I don't know if Richard Spencer really feels that way. I mean, sometimes he says things that are cringy and they're a little too wishy-washy. But most of the time, he does name the Jew to my satisfaction. So I don't know if the Forward is just trying to mischaracterize him or not. I know he's not hardcore 1488 and this kind of thing. But I'm not sure if he's as Jew-friendly as this article is trying to describe him. But I'm just going to keep continuing. The chairman of the innocuously named National Policy Institute, a white supremacist think tank begun in 2005, has created Right External, one of the movement's primary publications, in 2012. Since 2011, the NPI has held multiple conferences in Washington, as well as an aborted conference in Hungary, which resulted in Spencer being banned from 26 European countries, according to Radix. So it's funny how Jewish Daily Forward, they're writing this article, they literally just said that Richard Spencer sees Jewish and other out-group allies as a way to protect whites, but then they still call him a white supremacist think tank. Like, you know, someone like Richard Spencer, you know, Jared Taylor, these people have bent over backwards. They've gone out of their way. They put in maximum effort into not being described as a white supremacist, but yet they still are described as white supremacists. Who knows? At this point, they might not care anymore. I mean, they just never stop calling us that. That's why I like the Anglin method, where we're just going to own it. Yes, I am a white supremacist, especially I believe in white supremacy for white nations. I don't want us to go to Nigeria and be supreme. I'd rather just put all the mud people in Africa and just wall off the whole thing and never let them out, basically. I don't want to be supreme over them. I don't want to live with them, because then the race mixing happens and then everything goes downhill from there. So no, thank you. But if they want to call me a white supremacist, I'm not going to deny it, because it's like a sign of weakness. No shame, no apologies, no guilt. You want to call me a white supremacist? Fine. I don't really care, because our enemies do not hold the moral high ground. We hold the moral high ground. We want a future for our children. We want our women to stop being raped. We want these drugs to be taken out of our communities. So we have the moral high ground. Call me what you want. Doesn't make a difference. So, continuing with the article. But before his tenure as a chairman of the NPI, Spencer helped run the H.L. Mencken Club, formed by Paul Gottfried, a Jewish academic who coined the term alternative right. Its conferences have become a gathering place for white nationalists who, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, use it to legitimize racism under the glossy veneer of academia. Right, isn't that funny? He's projecting, like, Jews used the glossy veneer of academia to delegitimize race and racial science. It's interesting. They say Paul Gottfried is a Jewish academic who coined the term alternative right. I could have sworn it was Richard Spencer who coined that term, since I've seen him say that he's the one who coined that term. But according to the Jewish Daily Forward, it was Paul Gottfried. And of course, Gottfried and Spencer could not be reached for comment for this article. I kind of wish Spencer would have engaged these guys. Would have made this article a lot more interesting. But that is kind of sad if it is a Jew who coined the term alt-right. That's a little rough. That's like, oosh. Like, really? I'm going with alt-right, and that term was coined by a Jew. It's just like, why do Jews always have to be coining terms that we use all the time? Like genocide, coined by a Jew. Racist, coined by a Jew. Even the term Nazi, coined by a Jew. And these are all terms that I use and will continue to use, even if they were coined by a Jew. But it is kind of rough. It's like, really? It's kind of like, you know, Donald Trump, you know, daughter's married to a Jew, converted Jew herself, son's married to a Jew, apparently Tiffany's dating a Jew, the hardcore tinfoils contend that Don Jr.'s wife is a Jew. So, you know, it's kind of rough. I'm not really thrilled about that, but that doesn't take away from the fact that I'm looking forward to the day when Trump builds the wall and deports them all. So it's kind of like the same thing there. So continuing with this article here, this is a quote from Richard Spencer. This is what he wrote on his Ask Me Anything session on Reddit. He wrote, "I don't think directly associating ourselves with movements of the past like Nazism is the best way to go about changing the culture. We need to be a new cultural movement. Historical reenactment is not good politics." Oh, that's so cute. Historical reenactment. Right, because if you're hardcore 1488, that means you automatically want to go out and march in uniforms just like the subversive Jew Frank Collins or Frank Cohen did in the 70s. When literally none of us want to do that. You know, we're all pretty cool and hip, even if we're hardcore Nazis. And hey, this historical reenactment, this whole aversion to the Third Reich marching around in military uniforms. Well, guess what? If things start to go our way and we start winning, things are going to get a little rough. We might start balkanizing. We might have military conflict. Things will become increasingly militarized. So why are we demonizing the idea of militarism when for us to win, ultimately to, you know, save our race from destruction, we are going to have to militarize at some point as a group and get organized, you know, as an armed force. So, I mean, obviously that kind of message, I mean, I can see where he's coming from too. And that's why I try to get along with everybody. You know, you have like the intellectual softies from like the Radix crowd. And then you have just the hardcore blunt populist cloud over at Daily Stormer. I kind of get along with both sides, even though there's a lot of disagreement and drama between both sides. I think they're all useful. I think even the softy intellectuals will play an important role for us as time, you know, as our struggle continues. But right now, it seems clear to me that the Daily Stormer David Dukes of our cause are by far the most effective. But, you know, I try to tolerate all of my fellow pro-whites as long as they aren't too crazy or too divisive with their nonsense like some of us are. So continuing, at the October 2015 MPI conference, Spencer made sure that at least one major anti-LGBT voice, Matthew Heimbach, was disinvited, and Jack Donovan, the openly gay masculinist writer, was a keynote speaker. Oh, that was one of Richard's high points for sure. Yeah, good job, good job. He kicked out Matt Heimbach and brought in Jack Donovan. And thanks to that, he's been given praise from the Jewish Daily Forward, which still calls his organization a white supremacist think tank. So I'm glad you got what you're looking for out of that deal, Mr. Spencer. And by the way, guys, I don't have anything against Richard Spencer. It's all good. We don't have to agree on everything. He's out there on the streets. He has a presence in the media, so it's all good. Same even goes for Jared Taylor. Even considering what I'm about to read from Jared Taylor right now, I'm sure a lot of you guys who hate Jared Taylor are going to hate him a lot more. And this is going to be triggering. And it's not pretty what he's saying, but I still think that Jared Taylor is a great guy who does a lot of good work for us. That's just the way I am, though. I just try to tolerate everybody as long as you're pro-white. And one thing I will say about Jared Taylor, he hardly ever punches to the right as far as I know. And he's bringing the discussion to the right, so there's no point in attacking these people. But that being said, when he says the heinous things that I'm about to read to you, he has to be called out on it. So we're about to cover this. So let's keep going. Jared Taylor, another figurehead of the alt-right, has been running the racist American Renaissance magazine since 1990, which has published articles by Jewish writers and hosted Jewish speakers at its conferences, drawing the ire of diehard anti-Semites like former KKK leader David Duke, who is running for U.S. Senate in Louisiana. Spencer and Taylor say the ends justify the means when explaining the inclusion of Jewish and LGBT voices, and even the voices of so-called alt-righties of color. Hey, that's true. I agree. The ends do justify the means. I'm just 6,000,000% convinced that involving Jews and faggots is extremely subversive and risky and not worth it. So we shouldn't even go there. We don't need Jews or homosexuals to save our race. I mean, it's almost like a pride thing. It's like, for me to be told that there's no hope for the white race unless we accept, you know, Milo and Cernovich and this guy who wrote this article I just covered saying he's an alt-right Jew. We don't need them anyway. What we need is a rich white billionaire to start heaping money onto us. We don't need Jews, okay? Jews only look out for themselves. We can exploit them, definitely. I'm okay with exploiting them, but not saying, don't alienate the good Jews because they can help us out. Nah, no, no way. That's a woefully naive in my opinion. So, where was I? Okay. This is a quote from Jared Taylor, also from July 26th, Reddit Ask Me Anything. He says, I don't think it is a good idea to drive away potential allies by declaring war on all Jews. Or here, let me just read this whole article as it stands. I don't think it's a good idea to drive away potential allies by declaring war on all Jews, Taylor wrote in a July 26 Reddit AMA to defend Jewish inclusion in his response to a long anti-Semitic post by the user Lothar von Trotha. If you're listening to this, Lothar von Trotha, what's up, bro? Lothar von Trotha, that's a good dude right there. Jared continues, to be sure, there are many elite Jews who work against the interest of whites, but other Jews see themselves as men of the West who will fight to preserve European civilization. You know, that's cute, man. I mean, I bet there really are Jews who see themselves as men of the West. But guess what? We can't trust them because, I mean, historical fact, Jews gonna Jew. They're gonna infiltrate and subvert. It's so simple. And we don't need them, like I just said. So yeah, to Taylor, white is white is white. White Jews are white, he said in a phone interview. Cringy stuff, I know, but we're not even to the most cringy thing he said yet. And just like Spencer, I'm not trying to attack Taylor. Once again, he's done a lot of great work for us. He's definitely horrible on the JQ. But at this point, I don't think he can cause any harm. I'm pretty sure most of Ameren's people are hip to the JQ. So it's still deplorable and worth calling out, but I don't think it's really that damaging for him to be so woefully naive on the JQ. So it continues. But though people like Jared Taylor are willing to welcome white people of all backgrounds, at least for now, for many in the alt-right, their hatred of Jews remains stubbornly common. Exactly. Once again, that's why I don't think Taylor can do that much damage. Even this article saying, hey, regardless of what Taylor says, most of these alt-right people hate Jews. And that's damn right. So anti-Semites like Kevin MacDonald, who has written books about the invention of anti-Semitism by Jews, are still regular guests at MPI conferences. And though he sometimes praises Israel for being an ethnostate, Spencer harbors deep anti-Semitism as well. He tends to pass it off as an intellectual interest in the racial and cultural distinction of Jews from white people. And this next quote is from Jared Taylor. I think someone like Kevin McDonald, he has covered the question of Jews very carefully. I think he is correct on the activity of many elite Jews. So that's very interesting that Jared Taylor would say that. So first he says, some Jews see themselves as, men of the West and can be useful allies. But then when he's talking about Culture of Critique and the other two books, he says, I think he's correct on the activity of many elite Jews. Like, Jared, if you think Kevin McDonald is correct on the activity of elite Jews, how can you possibly be defending Jews and openly, letting them come to your conferences and this kind of thing? It just doesn't seem consistent to me. Okay, so next, and this next quote is from Marilyn Mayo, a research fellow for the Anti-Defamation League's Center on Extremism. She says, overall, I would not say that Jews are welcome in these circles at all. There's a general anti-Semitism that emanates from the alt-right and those kinds of groups. Mayo said that the occasional appearance of Jews in this milieu reflects the burgeoning intellectualism of the alt-right, a move in direct tension to the populism of a leader like David Duke. And that is funny that that's pointed out, because that's the same thing I see. You kind of have like the blunt populist side of the alt-right, which is the Daily Stormer, David Duke, very strong on the Jew question. And then you have the intellectual side of the alt-right, like Radix, basically, primary example. And I'm not saying they're Jew deniers by any means, definitely not. And they're soft on the Jew question. Maybe soft isn't the best word, but they're not as blunt. They're not as enthusiastic about giving Jews their proper role in the destruction of the white race. So there is that divide. And the article continues. Oh, and here's the cringy, hardcore cringeworthy quote from Jared Taylor. Oh man, here's what Jared Taylor had to say, guys. Dissident whites benefit from the efforts of all, Jew or Gentile, who understand the crisis we face. Anyone who tries to chase Jews out of a white consciousness movement is chasing away valuable allies and also raising doubts in the minds of Gentiles about the legitimacy of white racial consciousness. Oh man, that's rough, Jared. Why'd you have to say that? I'm trying to support you. And then you say that I'm actually working against white interests by chasing Jews, away from our community, that I'm the one who's hurting us by chasing them away. And then you go on to say chasing Jews away raises doubts about a white racial consciousness. So we need Jews to win, and we even need Jews to have legitimate white racial consciousness, according to Jared Taylor. That's pretty rough, man. I mean, I don't think we need Jews to win. I definitely don't need a Jew to have my own sense of white identity. That's nonsense. So yeah, it's pretty bad. So I have one last article. We're going to end this one off on a good note. And amazingly enough, this one is from The Onion with the headline, What is the Alt-Right? And I thought this was going to be an anti-white satire, because that's generally what The Onion is. But the best part about this article, their main image for the article is a photo of a white genocide banner. So thank you, Onion. That was amazing. So it's a short article. I can read the whole thing to you. It says, a recent speech by Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton criticizing the alt-right movement and its support of Republican nominee Donald Trump has shone the national spotlight on the ideologically conservative group. Here's what you need to know about the alt-right. Beliefs. Why ruin your day by getting into this? Precursors. Long lineage of conservative philosophers, including Hans Hermann Hoppe, Julius Evola, and You Mad Bro 4chan Meme. Membership. Over 40,000 individuals currently appealing ban on Wikipedia editor account. Origin. Although generally considered an online movement, the alt-right actually has its roots in the evolution of adrenal glands in vertebrates 525 million years ago. Against political correctness, immigration, feminism. For being against political correctness, immigration, feminism. Notable achievements. Finally convincing Twitter to take online harassment seriously. History. Movement began in earnest after Ronald Reagan aired his famous It's Morning in Cuckmerica campaign ad in 1984. How it differs from traditional conservatism. Even less diverse. Chief opponents. Social media sites conduct policies. Oh, don't I know that one for sure. And for those of you who don't know, my original YouTube channel was banned a couple months ago for saying a few too many mean things about Jews. Three strikes and you're out of there. Goals. Members hope to preserve European culture, promote nativism, feel less sad and angry about everything all the time, and oppose political correctness. How long will the movement last? As long as there are libtards that need uncucking. That was actually pretty decent from The Onion, as far as I'm concerned. So, anyway, guys, that about wraps it up. Before I end this, I want to promote the Daily Stormer Book Club. If you haven't checked it out, go to the Daily Stormer forum, that's bbs.dailystormer.com, and look for your area in the forum, and hopefully you can find some people close to you to meet up with. I met up with some fellow Nazis this weekend, and it was an amazing feeling to be able to just openly talk about kikes and niggers to someone who agrees with me. And it really is a spiritual thing to experience. And it raised my spirits tremendously. So make sure if you can, I know a lot of y'all live out in the boonies, so you might not have any luck. And, you know, that really sucks. Hopefully things change in the future as more and more people wake up. But if you have the chance, you should make it a mission to meet fellow Nazis in real life. So anyway, guys, that wraps up my first edition of Best Current Year Ever with Fascist Lemming. Once again, thanks to Sven Longshanks for giving me a spot on his glorious Radio Aryan network. And make sure to check out my YouTube, guys. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. So no matter whatever else you do in life, keep it white and have a great week. I'll see y'all next Wednesday. Take it easy. Crack assemble.
listening to the best current year ever with Fascist Lemmy.